Hey, it's Botcast time. Goodness me, spring is coming. The nights are drawing out. Won't be long till summer's here. Hey, yeah. I got two of my chums are with me on the Botcast today. Back for the second month in a row. This means like you're on a hat trick next month.
You know yeah, that? Bring it on.
Hey, really? Let's you're up for it. This? Okay.
Give the people what they want.
Fresh from the slopes. Of Whistler. He's returned in one piece. Yes, he has, yeah. So Cameron is with me. And whose dulcet tones are those? Goodness me. Now, you're not making your Botcast debut.
No, it's not.
You've been on the Botcast many times before. But it's a little bit like, I think you are like the Frank Sinatra of EC.
Smooth.
Because he's back. He's back for his third kind of farewell gig, as it were, but hopefully not farewell this time. Stuart Bevans is back in the house.
Hi there, how you doing?
God, this is a surprise, Stu.
It is, isn't it? Absolutely, hey. Yeah.
Welcome nice. Back.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
So, yeah, 3 years away.
Yeah.
3 years away.
And on one hand, it seems like 3 years, but on the other hand, it just seems like yesterday.
Just like it's like putting on an old comfy pair of slippers, mate, isn't it? Well,
I've been called a few things in my time. I'll take that.
I thought we were the slippers, not the end of it. But it's interesting. We should talk about it because this isn't the first time that Stu's come back.
No.
It's actually the second time that you've come back.
Second return. Third stint.
Okay. It is the Frank Sinatra. That's what it is. Farewell tour. And there's a few things that I think we should just unpack here really. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is that is the fact that Stu's come back for no one. He does now hold a record. No one's ever come back twice before. Although actually there are several people who have come back once before.
Yep.
And in that regard, I've always found that you kind of know the right thing to do, and it depends on two things really. It depends on the individual, and it depends on the value to the business. And in that regard, when Stu reached out in December and we had a conversation, which wasn't initially about coming back, but mm-hmm. just as we caught up together, I think it became clear to both of us that there was a job here that you could do really well, and you began to realise that actually, he says, not wanting to put too many words in your mouth, but well, you didn't take much persuading.
Well, I think in the time I was away, I'd done a couple of things. I went to join another company initially.
Mm-hmm. By the way, just actually for the uninitiated, so in the Stuart has worked with me as part of my team in round numbers, I think for nearly 11 of the last 15 years.
Yeah,
that's broadly where this works out. But it is 3 years since he left.
Yeah.
So go on.
When I left, I went to work for another company. Uh-huh. In truth, I found it a little bit too corporate. So that lasted probably about 18 months. But since then, I've been on my own, and it's been really fantastic, and I've learned a lot. And I think when we spoke just before Christmas, I think my learning of actually doing it and working on my own is going to really help me in the new development of the role that you've got going on here. And I think that's really attractive about it is because I was finding it a bit lonely, in truth. And
hang on, this is when we start to play the Simon Bates.
it's not that bad. But I think there's in me, there's the, it's not that bad, really, it's not. I'm not going to start to cry. But I think, it was a good role. It sounded fantastic. It's going to be very challenging, but I can bring a lot of experience from what I've learnt in those few years back with me. And I so far as well, it's proved to be the right choice because the team is fantastic, and I enjoy working with people. Yeah. I'm very much a people person, and I think that's going to help me.
Stu's come back in to take a senior role in our Ludify team because our agency is storming ahead. I mean, the biggest problem we have with Ludify right now, the biggest challenge, is just managing the flow, because we're being very careful the number of people that we're bringing on board internally, to make sure we can deliver the, you know, the right experience and the right quality of work. And obviously Stuart, with such a lot of experience of EC, as you know, and of marketing, and now you know, in many ways, you know, the fact that you have been outside, as it were, makes you more valuable. It's like in the old prisoner of war camps, you know. Those that got over the fence and got, even if they got recaptured, they were more valuable because you've kind of been outside. Yeah. And you did a lot of, one of the things we want to talk about today in particular, because you did a lot of networking, didn't you, the last 18 months?
Yeah, and I think it's something that either people don't do enough of or they do too much and they get it really wrong. And I learned very quickly that you can waste a lot of time networking, but if you do it properly, it's really valuable for
your business. So what's the difference then? What's doing it properly mean?
So having some objective, you know, people just turn up to a breakfast meeting with no real understanding of what they want to get out of it.
A breakfast?
Well, apart from a greasy spoon, which is not going to help your business grow too much. It might help you grow, but not your business. So there's sort of, you become quite busy, a busy fool doing loads of stuff and committing to one-to-ones and meetings and all that sort of stuff. But when you look back and say, okay, how many hours have you actually spent networking this week, this month, this year? What have you got out of it? So it's very much like anything else. You need a plan, and you need to say, right, okay, I'm going to go to this network, whether it's BNI or it's for networking or it's just a local one.
Yeah.
You know, how much time am I spending there? What do I want to get out of it? Who do I really want to meet? What am I going to spend my time doing? Which is obviously what you want to do, is meet influential people and ignore the ones that are just waffle.
The losers.
Yeah, exactly.
Which every network meeting has.
Yeah. Well, yeah, more so than actually influential people, which is really the point, because you have to pinpoint the right people to talk to. And the thing about networking as well, it's not about the people in the room necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's about the people in the room that can introduce you to the right people. Okay. Very influential.
Did you ever look at your time spent networking and think about it in terms of a financial cost? Because for me, that is the. Because if you start to deploy this thinking that you're explaining here, in terms of direct marketing, which is the kind of EC way, is that all marketing spend has to be accountable. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, the spend for networking, it's not just the 10 or 15 quid for the breakfast or the ticket. The biggest spend for networking is the time.
Yeah.
Because by the time you've driven there and then spent an hour or 2 hours and then driven up, you've spent 3 or 4 hours, which is opportunity cost, because that's 3 or 4 hours that you could spend doing other things.
Absolutely.
And if you start to put that price tag on it then and say, well, actually, I'm investing, if you, I don't know, put a £50 an hour rate on it, well, this is a £200 marketing spend. Has it been accountable? Did you ever think of it that way?
Well I did, but many people don't, because they don't really understand what they're worth in the first instance. Because you're very, you know, right, how much are you worth an hour?
Yes.
You know, what do you want to earn? What do you earn? You need to put a price on that.
Because this thing, opportunity cost.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, at the end of the day, for all of us as entrepreneurs, the reality of it is that time is our most precious asset.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that can never be replaced. I mean, you know, steal me money, I can get it back, I can earn it again. Mm-hmm. But my time is gone, isn't it? We none of us can have yesterday again.
Yeah.
Even though, Cam, you might want to have yesterday again.
What?
He was a bit jet-lagged.
We'll
come to that in a minute.
So I think that there's a couple of really important points, aren't there? Knowing what you are worth, and then making sure that, you know, every hour that you're spending out there is you're getting that
it
back.
It is an interesting question, isn't it? I wonder what people are thinking now. Well, we've only got like 3 people listen to this, so it's not many people listen, but as they're driving along, because everyone listens in the car, and so as they're driving along, now, how much are you worth? No, you, the driver, yes, you. How much are you worth?
It's not difficult to work out, is it?
Well, I don't know. Well, it might, I mean, there's, I don't know, it might be. I guess the way to work it out, if we look at our, I guess the simplest way then, what would you'd say, well, how much do you want to earn this year?
Okay,
not what you are working, let's look at what you want to earn this year.
Yeah.
So, so that's an interesting one. And so if I want, I can get a can I get my calculator?
Yeah.
I want to do that. I want to just hang on. No, just
take the headphones. Shall I keep it warm for you?
Yeah.
Here you go.
I've got my calculator.
That is the biggest
here.
Calculator in the world.
That is. I don't like to brag, but I find size does matter when it comes to numbers. I have a lot of numbers to keep track of. So then, let's what should we put? 150 grand.
Yeah, starting point.
I don't know how people live on that. 150 grand. So, and 220 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is £681 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
An hour's in a day.
Eight.
Okay.
£85 an hour.
An hour.
Going to networking is going to take 4 hours door to door, leaving home to getting back again. £340.88.
Okay.
So think about 340 quid. If we think about that in terms of a Facebook ad spend, mm-hmm. or a Google spend, I mean, I'm halfway. If I did that twice in a month, that's a 10,000 leaflet drop.
Yeah.
You know, 340 quid, double that up, 680 quid, £700. For £700, I get 10,000 leaflets printed and delivered. So my opportunity cost here is, you know, as a minimum, is 340 quid.
Yeah.
For a single networking
just
event.
The fees on top.
Well, I've got to get I've just got to make sure it worthwhile, haven't I? Because I mean you wouldn't take the missus out for a, I mean that's a special night out, isn't it? I mean that is you're not going down the beef eater for that, are you? It's a swanky evening, is that?
Yeah.
I mean that's a weekend away. I mean the three of us could probably, I wonder how far we could get with 340 quid from Birmingham Airport. What do you reckon, Ken? How far could we get?
We get to Whistler.
Depends what time of year. Probably not.
Not Whistler, but
I bet we could get. Well, there's three of us.
There's probably three flights to Portugal.
You can get a budget flight to New York one of us.
Well, there we go. So it's just in terms of the opportunity cost. It's an important thing to look at when we're going. When we're going networking. Yeah.
So it's important to say we shouldn't look at this though and not do it.
Mm-hmm.
But have a plan and have a clear objective and just have that knowledge that you need to get that back, because I do think that getting out there face to face is a smart thing to do.
Yes.
And it might be that, you know, instead you said you could do a 10,000 door drop or whatever, that might not be for you where networking might be. So you've got to find your pillar,
And I wasn't prescribing one or the other. I was just putting it in context.
Absolutely.
Because people don't think about going to two networking meetings a month, they wouldn't compare that to dropping 700 quid of cash on a door drop. What I'm saying is actually the cost is the cost is kind of the same.
Yeah.
And working that through.
Yeah. But it's a smart thing to do. I'd look at local groups. Don't get sucked into going to every single group you can, because the other thing you do get sucked into doing is you go to one and people go, oh, have you come into the one next week? Yeah. And you come into the one tomorrow. Now, have a look at them, because
you're networking hard, Mr. Bevins.
Exactly, but there are some, and you don't have to spend a lot of money as well to get some good ones, because once you start going, you know, people will say, you know, have you been to this one or that one? Maybe just take a look and then you can make your own mind up. But there are some good ones, especially around city centres, and good companies, big companies tend to start doing networking groups now, like recruitment companies, professional services companies. It's a way that they spend their marketing budget, actually putting on networking events to get people there that they can then go and sell to. So it's quite a smart thing. And you do meet some bigger businesses at those types of events.
How do you find out about them?
Well, by going to some, literally. you can Google it. You know, networking events in your area, they will come up, because people do LinkedIn. You know, if you're networking on LinkedIn with local professional people, mm-hmm. they will be going networking. Oh, cool. So ask people there.
Okay.
But then once you go to one, it starts to snowball, but be very sensible about what you choose, and you can't do them all.
Mm.
And have an objective.
Okay, it's cool. I need to have a rant, gentlemen.
Okay, dear.
To have a rant. Oh, well, I'm just a bit fed up. I mean, it's 2019, and I am fed up with the lack of creativity amongst British business owners when it comes to presenting themselves to their potential customers.
Yeah.
I am, honestly, the quality of marketing this year is dreadful. Mm. And so many businesses, they're just putting out like what they do.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in there that makes them remotely interesting. There's nothing engaging about it. They haven't answered or even attempted to answer, you know, why should your hard-working prospect spend a single penny of their hard-working cash with you? It's just like, oh, we do this. yeah, we do this, we do this. And it's so, I mean, the good news is for those of us in EC, I members, businesses, anywhere around the EC, it's so easy to stand out from the crowd when the crowd are so bland and beige and banal. Yeah. And in that, I guess in that regard, it's probably quite a good thing that everyone else is so, and everyone's so willing to blame everything else right now. But this, you know, just thinking a little bit differently, we had such a brilliant Inner Circle session last week, and we got to grips with four of the businesses in particular, and just in like 20 minutes, and it was in a group environment, so there was all sorts of sparks flying in terms of, you know, ideas and stuff, but we came up with some really cutting edge ways and phraseology and language that just makes, you know, what are actually quite dull. I mean, one of them was an accountant, for goodness sake, but actually we made them really very, very engaging. I can't tell you what we came up with because I want to let them, I'm sure you people in the EC will start to see it in the weeks ahead, but I'd rather keep that powder dry until they're ready to deliver it. But it was a really, really good piece of positioning because we spent like 10 minutes thinking about it, and so many people are not doing it. And it's also, I mean, it's one of the challenges we have with new people coming here.
Yeah.
Because it's like what happened to all the creative juices that, you know, even what the schools must have like squashed it out of people because it's like, oh, I can't be different in any way. The just everything about it, that even the fonts that they're using, Cameron, is depressing, isn't it?
Oh, the fonts. Don't get me started on people's fonts.
Yes, we do have you're fascinated by fonts.
Yeah, I enjoy a good font, but okay. I really dislike a terrible font. Oh, there's nothing worse than a misused font.
Okay.
But not only that, I was looking at a website today, couldn't even read the font. It was dark text on a dark background. I mean, I know that's basic, you know, you could just about see a shadow.
Okay.
But I struggle, but you know, that's the lesser end. But I think, do you think people are a little bit scared to push the boundaries?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a combination of things. I just think people don't realise that, like, if you're going to do a piece of marketing, whether it's a leaflet or it's a web page or it's a bloody Facebook ad or anything, like it's the same price to stand out and be a bit creative. I mean, you might as well use a good picture as opposed to a really shitty picture. We might as well use something that makes people smile or stops them in their tracks as use the, I mean, the fucking stock images and stuff. And I really thought we'd kind of moved on. I mean, there was a window last year when we were seeing some really great stuff, but I've had some critiques put in and they're bloody awful. And I don't understand what's happening, and whether it's the doom and gloom of winter, whether it's the misery of our impending Brexit, but it's like a grey cloud has descended across the marketing collateral of the United Kingdom. Mm. And we need to inject it, Cameron, with a rainbow full of colour. Bring me, never mind your fonts, bring me your palettes, bring me your cyans and your cerise. I need, but it's, you know, honestly.
That's what stands out, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, colour is really, really important, you know, obviously to a brand, and you've got to be consistent and stuff, but people have got to see it. So colours are really important. Fonts are very important. Your messaging, your wording, and being very different. Mm. I think there's two things here. Is the differentiation. You have to be different to everybody else around.
And then
you've actually got to do it.
And I don't want to kind of preach on that. I want to try and be helpful. I mean, in the circular this month that's arrived with this particular edition of the podcast, there is in the big lesson, there is the top 10 subject lines that they're the ones that have got the biggest open rates for us over the last 12 months. And none of them, I mean, I've put them in there so you can swipe and deploy them, because you should, you know, find the right way. I mean, they can't be completely random to your body copy. You've got to find a way to link the copy in somehow, but it's not difficult to do. But they're subject lines that stand out, that create a bit of intrigue. A couple of them create a bit of emotion. You can do the same thing with images. I mean, you know, subscribing to things like Shutterstock, you know, for instance, I mean, you can get all the dull, boring images, but if you, the more you use it, the more you get used to it, searching for the cute things, you know, I mean, cute kids is a slightly dangerous thing to search on the internet, but you're safe in Shutterstock, but you'll find interesting pictures. We try really hard to model it within the circular. It's not always a success, but my, you know, the guide that we have with my design team is if an image could be seen in a Chamber of Commerce magazine, it has no place in our magazine. And that is our criteria. But the same is true with our Facebook ads, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, I mean, Joe talked on Business Growth Central a couple of weeks ago about, I mean, she did a great job, Joe, I've got to tell you, honestly, on the Facebook feature that Joe did when Cameron's on holiday. She was so good, was Joe. And we need to decide what we're going to do going forward as to whether, I don't know, because Joe was, she was properly good, was Joe. Hello, Cam. But she shared the cupcakes that had the poo emojis, which, when I'm describing it on the radio and on the audio, it sounds a little bit distasteful. But actually, it was quite a cute little image, but worked really, really well for us. And interestingly, three members watched that program and used the very next day poo emoji cupcakes on their images, and all of them saw an uplift. And the reason is because it stands out, because it stops the eye, it makes people look and realise it. And I'm not saying you have to use poo emoji cupcakes, don't take me literally, but I am saying, let's, for goodness sake, people, come on, we've all got creative brain cells in there somewhere, let's use them.
I was working for a telecoms company, and we started off really putting some dull images in truth, and we did a bit of stock because we just wanted to get some content out there. We developed then into taking some pictures in the house and blah, blah, blah. We saw the engagement go up, and then I actually took on an apprentice, and she was a cartoonist.
Okay.
And we started coming up with the ideas for the photographs, and she used to draw them. So we used the branded colours, which really stuck out. Actually, Aston Villa type colours, so it was even better. But it was something funny with a man falling off his chair with the phone ringing, telecoms and that sort of thing. But the engagement on those posts went up and up and up, just because we were being a little bit
creative.
Different, creative and interesting.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you started wearing non-black shirts to work. What's going on?
It was a navy blue. Oh. Thank you very much.
Okay.
It wasn't straight black.
Okay.
It was a navy blue. But no, I broadened my wardrobe.
Yeah, so, I mean, for those of you watching in black and white today, Cameron's wearing a polka dot shirt.
Yeah. Still blue. Not too crazy. No. This is a place of business, after all. Okay.
So, Nifty Images.
Mm.
Talk Nifty to me, Cam.
Nifty Images is...
Let's assume no prior knowledge.
Yeah, it's still one of my favourite tools when it comes to marketing. It's very clever, and it looks really impressive to people on the outside, but once you understand it and use it properly, it's so simple to do. And it basically allows you to effectively mail merge in an image. So you can send emails out to people with images and photos in.
So there's an image in the email.
In the email. But the images have people's names in them. So we use it a lot. We have a picture of you holding a plain white piece of paper or a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then we upload it into Nifty Images. And we can add the words, you know, hi, first name, onto the picture. Or thank you, first name. And when we put that in the email and we send it off to Stuart. Stuart opens the email, and in the email is a picture of Nigel holding a sign that says, thanks, Stuart.
Cool.
And it looks like it's a handwritten sign in the email. And
what font do you use for that?
There are many different fonts.
What's your favourite font?
I like a good handwritten font
in
there. If we're going for something professional,
there's
some... I mean, the default font that Nifty Images gives you is actually disgusting, by the way. It's like a Cooper plate. Awful rounded, but don't worry about it. But there are some good ones. But the impact that receiving an email like that has on the people that receive it is profound. I mean, whenever we send an email with a Nifty image in, the click-through rates always go up in multiple percentage points versus anything else.
Because just sound clear, because Nifty image won't help get the email opened because they don't see it until they've opened it. But what it's very good at doing is driving click-throughs.
Mm-hmm.
So once they've opened the email,
very
good. I remember when we did it a few years ago, we had a group of people in my office, and we were in a very earnest, there was a photograph of us all in a very earnest discussion, and we put a caption in the image, and it said, we've been talking about you, Stuart, ..
Yeah.
And that was a little video piece, wasn't it? It worked very well with that, didn't it?
Worked amazingly. Again, the most recent one we did was actually for a webinar we did.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we'd mix it up, try and get the attendance rate up a little. So in the confirmation email, once someone had registered for the webinar, they immediately got an email from Nigel with a sign that said, you know, thanks, for registering Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we had literally dozens of people reply to the email, say how amazing it was, how impressed it was. And when you're in a position like we are, where, you know, we were running a webinar about advanced marketing strategies. Yes. So receiving an email that illustrates
an advanced marketing strategy
is always a good thing. But I mean, we've had a few people who ask how you get anything else done if you're posing for all these pictures all day long, not realizing that it's
quite simple to
not
do.
Realistic. But no, the impact they have on people is just amazing, because again, if
but
you're
you
not
did
used
today,
to
darling,
this,
yes, I had 174 photos taken
exactly.
with a different board.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But people aren't used to it, and it comes back to the whole standing out piece, because
yeah,
most emails are
yeah.
boring and they're plain text and
yeah.
they're just words, and
yeah,
so
yeah.
if you open an email and your name is in a picture
mm-hmm.
there,
yeah.
that's really going to have an impact with you, make it stand out, and the chances of people actually reading that email and clicking through go up so much more because you've got their attention.
Yeah. And it's quite easy to personalise things now, isn't it? And it's a big miss really for a lot of people. To personalise messages is
yeah.
makes a big difference.
It just helps, isn't it? And again, it's that demonstration of creativity, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I still love it when people see video cards for the first time.
Yeah.
I had a Ludify client in earlier today, and we just talked through the things we were going to do for them, and one of the parts of their campaign to their dream list will be a video card.
Yeah.
And so I showed them a video card,
mm.
and their face was a picture. It was like a little kid. Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh my god! That's amazing.
Yeah.
When people see it for the first time, and because it's what was my little rant is that at least there's a little bit of creativity around
yeah,
it. And
difference.
When people see it, we've got a couple of cracking campaigns that I'm going to talk about at the Celebrity Success Summit, which actually will have happened by the time you are listening to this, dear listener. It's already happened, so I won't dwell on it. But we're recording this before it's happened with Sebastian Coe, Lord Coe. Call me Seb. He's honestly.
Is that what he said?
He did, yeah. call me Seb. I said, I will, Seb. Thank you very much. And he was just the nicest man. What's your first memory of Seb Coe, Stu?
Oh, blimey.
I remember being in Guernsey on holiday with my parents. And it was a warm summer's day, and it was in the middle of the Moscow Olympics in 1980. And him and Ovette were racing in the
That was the
800
the big
meter
one
in 1980.
That was
the big
deal,
yeah.
wasn't it?
And
yeah.
Ovette and I was on a tennis court, playing tennis with my dad, and we stopped because listening on the radio and we stopped to listen to the 800 meter race on the radio.
Yeah.
That's my first memory of Seb Coe. But he had long hair in those days, as I recall. But anyway, he'll be immaculately turned out, I've no doubt. Do you even know Seb
yeah.
Coe is, Cam?
Yes,
oh, okay.
Of course. Unbelievable. My first memory was it was just at the Olympics, 2012 Olympics.
There
That's the first time I heard about him.
Yeah. Okay.
But he seems a cool dude.
Well, what was interesting chatting to him about the whole event and stuff, and he's really looking forward to it. But and I'm sure he'll tell this story on the day, but in case you missed it, was how the whole London Olympics started in 1999.
Mm.
Yeah, with him and two other people.
Yeah,
having a drink in a pub.
Wow.
And they had this idea that maybe we should bid for the Olympics, and he talked about how the team basically doubled every year, and so a year later there were like six of them. But when they actually went and got the bid, it was just 2005 when it was announced. So that's when the bid was successful. And there was like 120 of them at that point
yeah.
and got the bid to be successful, and the team grew to like 13,000. But that wasn't like all the people doing it. That was like the organising committee. I mean, can
yeah.
you imagine what that must be like? But
I'm looking forward to hearing the story.
It'll be great.
To do that,
and yeah. as ever at those events, it'll be the Q&As that'll be the most enlightening parts of the day.
Mm.
I've got no doubt. What's hot on the marketing front, Cam, this month? Let's share with our podcast listeners. Things that are working really, really well. What would you say is your hot marketing?
Well, Facebook Messenger continues to take the world by storm.
It does, doesn't it?
It does, indeed. Just the engagement levels
yeah.
and effectiveness of it versus anything else are just so impressive. I mean, I'll take a 96% open rate any day of the week.
Yeah.
yeah.
And, but we get good engagement. The thing about the Messenger as well is the level of engagement that you get.
Mm.
And because people are consuming it, and when you put when you use ManyChat and put all the bots in place, and the messages then are, they're driving what they get because it's responsive to them. But the way it drops the messages in and it is just so engaging. We were moving people from kind of cold lead to dropping hundreds of pounds on their credit card in the space of 20 minutes without talking to a human being because of the messenger box. But
it feels like they're talking to a human.
Yes, it does.
Because
yeah.
it's so much more conversational.
Yeah.
It's the whole, you know, whereas with an email, it's the equivalent of just kind of shouting at someone with a messenger because they're clicking the buttons, they're choosing their own way, they're interacting with it. It's more of a conversation.
Yeah, they're driving
You always get
it.
Further with people by having a conversation than by shouting at them.
How profound insights today, goodness me. The one thing that's very interesting we've found here within our team is not everybody, I mean, this is the same for anything, I guess, in life, never mind marketing, but not everyone is as capable at writing for Messenger. Does that make sense? There's a kind of you have to get into like a mindset, don't you, when you're writing with for Messenger?
Yes, yes. We tend to find the more, I don't think it's that offensive. The more youthful
the
author, often the more suited to Messenger the copy will be.
What are you trying to say, Cam?
Hang on, you've got
this side of the room's going to get very offended.
I'm just going to say.
But it almost circles back to what we were talking about at the beginning in terms of being different and creative and standing out, because Messenger is not the place for you to drone on you know, just paragraphs and paragraphs of just here's what we do. It is very different to almost any other medium when it comes to the style and the tone of writing, because it does need to be a lot more friendly, because Messenger is a place where people are used to interacting with their friends. So if you come along suddenly, oh, business, you're going to stand out. It's just not going to click with them properly. Yeah. So you do need to be more friendly, and you do need to be more conversational, more casual than you would perhaps in a letter or an email even. You need to treat it like you're talking to a friend. And so, you know, emojis galore.
Yeah, that is true, isn't it? And once again, because there's some people listening to this who've never used an emoji in their life, who abhor emojis.
Mm.
But the reality is, emojis, I mean, emojis are messenger. It's like, I'm trying to think of the United, it's like Starsky and Hutch. it's like Bodie and Doyle. It's like Crockett and Tubbs.
I know zero of these references.
I don't know why.
What are these?
We'll get him soon. Yeah, it's like Victoria and Albert.
Mm. Okay. Well, the Queen. I got that one.
Yeah. But they go together. Is my point.
Yeah.
And
no, I got what you were trying to do. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
There you
okay.
go.
Yeah. Mm. But one without the other is.
It just looks odd, to be honest with you.
Mm.
It looks very odd. I mean, I don't think you'll find any conversation thread in my messenger between me and my friends that doesn't have an emoji visible in, you know, the first screen there. And if you come along as a business and you're not using them, then again, you stand out and you just don't fit in with the platform that you're on.
And is there, because, I mean, it could be alleged that, hang on, Nigel, on the one hand, you're saying be creative. And actually, when it comes to using messenger, I'm more creative if I don't use emojis.
Well, there's a difference between creative and unique.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going against the curve is a good thing in a lot of cases. But they're different things, being creative and just being a little rebel.
Just be the devil's advocate here.
Yeah,
just,
that's all right. But being creative on Messenger, there's all sorts of stuff you can do.
Because you don't have to cuss it out, because hang on, we haven't mentioned the G word yet, have we?
No. The gifts.
Oh!
Gifts. I mean, the wonderful thing about Messenger is that, and I mean, gifts work in a lot of marketing, because you can embed gifts in emails, you know, whether it's just a flashing arrow. For those who aren't familiar with gifts, it's a moving picture between a photo and a film. So it's just a series of photos, but the difference between them and a video is that they will move in an email or when you post it as a picture, as opposed to a video where people have to click play. So in an email, using, you know, we create GIFs that look like buttons that change color and flash or look like they're pushing. We have arrows pointing up that we put underneath them. Yeah. So just to give the email some creativity and to make it move and more exciting. And with Messenger, we can do the same thing. Because again, this is a place where people are used to seeing, you know, funny GIFs and pictures from their friends. And so adding the correct GIF, because there are plenty that
would be inappropriate,
but adding the correct one to a conversation at the right point is going to help just give you as a business some personality.
Where should people go to get their gifts, Cam? Where do you get your gifts from?
I get my gifts from Giphy.
Giphy. Yeah, Giphy. Giphy. Pretty sure that's right.
Yeah.
You'll find it. I mean, they're driving right now. They'll have forgotten. By the time they park the car, they'll have forgotten. But just think Giphy. If you Google Giphy, you'll find it. And you can download them and you can insert them straight away into Messenger, but you can also use them in emails. Mm. And it this is all about just being a little bit, just it's about that creativity that I talked about with the rant. It's about just standing out from the crowd. It's about being prepared to say, look, you know, let's at least get some attention here.
Yeah.
And not be Mr. Bland and Mr. Boring.
You can use emojis now in subject lines, can't you, on emails as well. I tried that with a couple of customers and saw a little rise in open.
You little tinker, you, eh?
You've got to try these things.
Did you square brackets?
Oh,
square brackets.
That's old hat, isn't it?
2018. So 1990s. Oh, my God, look at the time. Gosh, we're going to get beaten by the time here. Oh, I've had all sorts of other things to talk about. I was going to pay homage to Gordon Banks as well. We're recording this on the day that Gordon Banks has passed away, which is a real shame. Although, he is a legend.
Absolute legend.
And all
still
of us...
the best site ever in the world.
All of us, a certain generation, will always have a little place in our hearts for Gordon Banks. I wanted to be a goalkeeper when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I got my goalkeeping jersey. This is before, kind of shirts were a bit different then, but Gordon Banks was my, even though he never played for Leeds. I did see him play against Leeds. And it is interesting in terms of, because he's left his mark and has been known for like the last 50 years. Obviously, he was the guy that was in goal when we won the World Cup. But in terms of, I find things like that quite inspirational, almost on a daily basis, because we have the opportunity, all of us, you know, we're business owners, and that means that like today or tomorrow we can do things that will impact people, and albeit in a small way, but we can make people smile, we can give amazing service, we can go the extra mile, we can turn up differently, you know. Yeah. and we can make a difference in our own way. It was my kind of attempt to have a little profound.
Yeah. Wow.
But
memorable.
It's had a big impact there.
Yeah.
I think Cameron's too laid back.
He's done his bit.
I mean, he's got his feet up. Yeah, he's come back. He jet lagged yesterday. Yeah. I mean, working at half pace.
It was awful yesterday.
How bad was it?
Well, I fell asleep at about 8:30 in the evening, but woke up again about 1:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And then couldn't get back to sleep again.
Okay.
So I think I fell asleep for about 30 minutes at 7:00 in the morning, but then had to come into work.
Yes. Obviously, that's a great insight there from the podcast. I mean, just this is Cameron's sleeping patterns. Listen, the Botty's notes are, Nigel's notes are up next. The podcast will be back in a month's time. I'll try and get more high caliber guests for you next month. We'll try and get better insights. But interesting stuff today. The networking piece, you know, that opportunity cost is a good insight. The little, you know, why should they spend money with you as opposed to all the, you know, other options that they've got? What are you doing in your messaging of your marketing to stand out, let alone the fonts that you're using and the colours and the creativity? Nifty Images is indeed very, very cool, and you've probably forgotten about it, so go and have a little look at that. And GIF and emoji away to your heart's content on Messenger, because it is the future.
Amen.
Okay. Yes. Should we say cheerio?
Goodbye, everyone.
Cheerio. Yeah.